We'll be back there again. Who remembers what verse we're on?
Five.
Somebody said it. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are reading in Hebrews 13, studying this last chapter of Hebrews. And stand with me if you would. Let me just read this one verse and I have a word of prayer. Verse 5, Hebrews 13. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Let's talk tonight about this fifth thing in as far as concerning being or having a better church, a better church. And it is the subject of contentment. Contentment. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we do thank you for Jesus. Thank you for our church. And Lord, we do always want to be better. Not so we can boast, Lord God. There's nothing that we can boast about. But Lord God, so that we can glorify you. So that we can better honor you, Lord God, in all that we say and do. Oh, please fill me with your spirit tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for the sweet spirit here. I pray you'd have liberty in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Contentment. Let me give you just a definition of what the word content means. And it means to be not to be disturbed. There's a lot of disturbed people, aren't there? It means not to be disturbed. Let me read to you. Here's another way to look at it. It means having your mind at total peace. Total peace in your mind. Think about that. I mean, no worries at all. Now, is that possible? I know not many people answered, but it means to be completely satisfied. Completely satisfied. Content. Let me read to you this way. Here's another definition. Not objecting or opposing anything. Not objecting to or opposing anything in your life. My soul, we need to have an invitation already. Because God says in verse 5, be content. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's just as much a directive, God's instruction for us as it is that you must be born again. Amen. Be content. Be content. And let me just get this out of the way. I don't think I need to say this, but this is not an excuse to live in sin and claim to be content. Okay, this is not an excuse to. This book is written to believers. Okay, and listen. There's no way. Absolutely, I don't really care what you think. There's no way, according to Hebrews chapter 12, that a saved, born again believer, child of God, can live in sin and be content. Okay, it's impossible. If you're living in sin and in direct disobedience and rebellion to the Word of God, and you're content, then listen to me. You are not God's. God does not. You are none of His, and He is none of yours. Understand something? The Bible tells us when we're His children and we live in sin and rebellion, He chastens His own. Okay. So this is not written to those. Okay. Let me get that out of the way. Contentment is this, and here it is: to belong to God, obviously to be saved, to live in godliness according to the Bible, and to be content with such things as God provides in that life. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, don't turn there, it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness is living according to the Word of God with contentment. In other words, being content with whatever that brings you, whatever that gives you, whatever God provides for you as you're living a godly life. That is great gain. That is great. Listen, maybe not on this earth, but dearly beloved, when you get to heaven, we're all going to stand before an almighty God, and the gain that we will have there, amen, will be eternal.
Amen.
Eternal gain.
Amen.
Okay? Psalm 37:16 says it this way: a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
Amen. Contentment, listen, contentment will confine my desires to my lot.
Right.
Contentment will confine my desires to my lot. In other words, I will desire what God desires. I will desire what God wants me to have. Right, listen to me. In other words, my will be God's will and vice versa. I'll be content with whatsoever things He has given me. That's what it says there in verse 5. Be content with such things as ye have. Everything, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything that we have in this life comes from God. Everything, it's God's, it's His, it belongs to Him. And listen, you and me are His children, and we should understand that we have everything that we have, it belongs to Him, even though we get to manage it. We're just stewards. It's required of every man that they be found faithful. Stewardship. Faithful with whatever God has given you. And listen, contentment is contrasted here in verse 5 with covetousness. Covetousness. Now understand something, dearly beloved. Covetousness is envy, greed. Covetousness is nothing more than the love of money. Okay? So we are talking about possessions, money, things like that. Hold your place here, but we'll be back. But look in Colossians over here, a few books to the left. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Sam, you need to turn this down a little bit, please. Colossians chapter 3. Begin reading in verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, that means if you're saved, seek those things which are above. Okay? That's where the great gain comes from. It says, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's good, son. Thank you. Set your affection on things above. Set your desires, your wishes on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. This is talking to saved people. When Christ, who is our life. Now listen, if we're risen with Christ, we've set our affections on things above, Christ becomes our life.
Amen.
Right.
And as long as I have Christ, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, be content with such things as you have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee.
Amen.
Christ is our life. That's what that means. And you say, well, that's not enough. Really? That's not enough. Okay, hold on a minute here. Verse 4, Christ, who is our life, shall appear. When He shall appear, He will appear, amen. And then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. You will appear with Him in glory. And then, see, the reason He's saying all this is because you're going to be there, and you're going to give an answer to what your affections were set on while you were here. Verse 5 says, mortify therefore. That means kill. That means mortify, amen. That your members which are upon the earth. Notice, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and what? Covetousness. Notice, which is idolatry. Covetousness, dearly beloved, is idolatry. The love of money is idolatry. Idolatry is a blatant violation of the first and greatest commandment, to love the Lord God with all your heart. To love the Lord God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength. Idolatry is to love money over God. Covetousness is to love money over God. There's nothing wrong with money. We have to have it to eat and to live. But understand, the problem is that not a lot of Christians don't just have money. Money has them.
Right.
Have you ever noticed how people will not miss work, one day of work? They will not miss a function at work, a training class at work, because it means money, but church is optional.
Come on, preacher.
That's good, preacher.
Church is optional. I don't feel good tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But you won't miss work tomorrow.
Right.
And you didn't miss work today.
Right.
And if there's anything that comes up with work, you are there because it means money. But church is optional.
Come on. Help us, preacher.
Amen. I knew it would get quiet. But that's evil. That's completely backwards.
Yeah, that's right.
That's completely backwards. Your affections are not set on things above. Your affections are set on things on the earth. That's covetousness. That's idolatry.
That's right.
It's idolatry. That is worshiping something other than God.
Yeah.
That is giving yourself to something other than God. That's idolatry.
Yes, sir.
It's not. Listen. You know what? You can see, feel, and touch money.
Right.
You say, well, I get direct deposit. You know what I mean. You can feel that debit card. You can see that bank account.
Right.
Understand something. That's all an idol is.
Yeah.
Right. An idol is because, see, people have to see to believe.
Right. Yeah.
And they have to have a God that they can see and they can feel and they can have, you know, they can be, they know that it's there and it gives them comfort. Now, come on, don't look at me like I'm crazy. It comforts you because I have something, the money that I can see and feel and I know I'm okay. But dearly beloved, if that money's gone, you lose your ever-loving mind. But yet you say you're saved. And it's not that you're not saved, it's just you're an idolater.
That's right.
You are worshiping an idol.
Amen. Come on.
Idolatry cast the children of Israel into spiritual darkness. Idolatry. You say, well, preacher, that was statues and idols and images. It's no different.
Right.
Covetousness is idolatry.
Right.
And we are living in a nation of absolute idolaters.
Right.
God's people.
Yeah.
I'm going to go right back to what I just said. You will not miss work for anything. If they call you in, you go. The pastor says, hey, we've got this tonight. We got this tomorrow. Well, I got work. Okay, I don't want you to lose your job. Don't misunderstand me. But yet when it comes time to do something, well, I'm too tired. I worked all day.
Amen.
You're an idolater.
That's right. Amen.
Listen, I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just telling you, the Bible says covetousness. You see that, right? Colossians 3, verse 5.
Yeah.
Covetousness is what?
Idolatry.
It's not. I didn't say it.
Yeah.
But it's no wonder we're living in such darkness, spiritual darkness in our country.
Yeah.
God's people are living for idols. Money.
Free.
Money. God's people turned to idolatry of the pagan nations that surrounded them. God said, you got to get rid of those images. You got to get rid of those idols. You got to get rid of those gods.
Right.
Or they're going to vex you. They're going to be like thorns in your flesh, pricks in your eyes, and they will vex you. And they did. And those people were, listen, eventually those people found themselves in the middle of Babylon, living in exile. Living, listen, it's not that they weren't God's people, it's just that they were not leave the idols alone. They served the same idols that the people around them served. God's people serving the same idols that the world serves.
Yep.
Covetousness. The love of money is the root of all evil. Why? Because it's idolatry.
That's right.
So it's not time to look down at the floor right now. Amen? Listen to your preacher. If we're going to have a better church, you're going to have to listen, not turn me off. If we're going to have a better church, you have to understand, I'm just telling you what God says. We need to get a grip on this. Listen, you may have the money now, but godliness with contentment is where the real gain is, where you're going to stand before God. You're not going to be able to take that green stuff to heaven.
Right. Help us, Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
I'm not even preaching against money right now, but the fact of the matter is, covetousness is idolatry. That's the love of money. Idolatry enters in, you see, when you can see and feel your God. Moses was up on the mountain 40 days in Exodus chapter 32, and the people said, Aaron, up. Make us gods. Up, make us gods. Because this Moses has been up here on this mountain and we don't know what happened to him. I'm paraphrasing. We don't know what happened to him. He's gone. So you up, make us gods. And they had that golden calf. They couldn't stand not being able to see and feel their leader, their God.
Right.
So they made an idol.
Bring it on.
Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm talking about tonight. See, idolatry is something you can serve. You serve and you give your life and you will give a whole lot more time to that money than you do to God. I mean, let's just be honest.
Right.
I said, preacher, I got to work. Don't misunderstand me. You've got to work. The Bible says you need to work with your hands. You need to still, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, amen. I understand that. And if you don't provide for your own, you've denied the faith and you're worse than an infidel. I know those verses. Don't misunderstand me. But you give your life and your money and your extra time and all of your free time to that God, that idol, and when it's time to serve the Lord, you're not anywhere to be found. When it's time to put an offering in the offering plate, that's my money. When it's time to tithe, that's my money. And it's idolatry, folks. And America will never thrive like that. God's people will never thrive like that. America is going to hell in a handbasket because we're living in the midst of idolaters.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
See, here's what it is. There's other forms of idolatry, but it's being able to see something, to serve it because I can see it. Hey, listen, I'm gonna give you some other examples. I have to see results or I'm not going to do it. In other words, if I don't see God save people, I'm not going to go soul winning.
Help us. Preach it, preacher.
Come on. That's idolatry.
Come on, preacher.
If people don't come to church, I'm going to quit visiting. I'm going to quit soul winning. That church is not growing. Be careful. That's idolatry.
That's right. Huh. Help us.
Ooh. Ouch. Yeah. But folks, listen to me. God says to be content with such things as you have.
Yep. Right.
That includes home and church. Yeah. That includes everything. And I've got so much to say. I can't spend so much time. Oh, dearly beloved, help me, y'all. Anyway, you have to see it or you're not going to do it anymore. And for example, well, I just haven't seen God answer any of my prayers lately. So you quit praying. So you quit praying. And listen, I'm just being honest with you. It happens.
Yeah.
It happens to all of us. Because we're so carnal, we have to see something. And if we don't see something, then we quit doing it.
Yeah.
How many of you would keep going to work if you didn't see a paycheck?
Come on, bro.
I'd find a different job. I know. See, I'm just using that as an example.
Okay.
But honestly, if we're just like that in our spiritual lives too. If I don't see answers to prayer, if I don't see people come to church, if I don't see the Holy Spirit, if I don't see people speak in tongues, that charismatic garbage, that's nothing but a bunch of idolatry.
Right.
It's all idolatry. I have to feel my salvation. Be careful, Baptist. You don't have to feel anything. Faith is no feelings at all. Faith is based on the absolute, inerrant, infallible, perfect, preserved, and infinite Word of God. It has nothing to do with how I feel. And when you're looking for a feeling, you're just like an idolater. Because you got to feel it. You got to see it. You got to touch it. You got to be able to. That's how idolatry gets in your life. Lack of faith brings about idolatry. Because faith is the Word of God, period. I don't have time to tell you about the man that we were talking to today on the campus, who, young man, I don't know if I'll call him a man anyway. He was a young man, but that's all, you know, that's their whole life. Their whole life is based on feelings and what I see and experiences, and you can't get them off of that. Well, the Word of God says this, and he says, well, it's not all black and white. There's some gray area. No, there's not. It's the Word of God. It's either true or it's not. And if some of it's not true, then all of it's worthless. If some of it's true, it's the Word of God, then it's all God's Word. You can't just pick and choose. That's idolatry.
Yeah, that's right.
That's you saying, well, that's not really important. That's just in the Bible for somebody else. Understand something, dearly beloved. That's because you don't like it. That's because it doesn't make you feel good. Lack of faith and idolatry, it denies contentment.
Yep.
Contentment. What we're talking about, being content. See, I'm not content with such things as I have because I don't see that I have enough. You know, I'm laying up treasures for myself in heaven. I can't see those though.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
And this lack of faith, this idolatry, this chasing after things that you can see and feel and touch leads to, listen to me, instability, unfaithfulness and unreliable living.
Yep.
Now, turn with me to Acts 14. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Acts 14. Acts 14. This lack of faith, which leads to idolatry, makes people very unstable, very unfaithful, and completely unreliable. Fickle is the word.
Yeah.
Acts 14, verse 11. When the people saw, you see that? When the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." Little g, lowercase gods. Their gods. They called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. They thought Paul and Barnabas were gods because they were idolaters, you see? And they saw them do something through the power of God, but they said, this is the power of our gods. So they were going to offer up sacrifice. They were worshiping Paul and Barnabas.
Right.
Okay, now hold on now. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they rent their clothes and they ran in among the people crying out, saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God." Idolatry is vanity.
That's right.
Covetousness is vanity.
Yeah.
You understand that, right? Let's read on here. Turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven, fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice. I mean, they could barely hold them back.
Right.
These people were so ready to worship Paul and Barnabas because they saw them do something through the power of God. They saw something. Now, hold on now. You would think, wow, these people are going to follow Paul and Barnabas to the death. Verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, notice, who persuaded the same people, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Wait a minute. What? They're worshiping him one minute, and then here comes some reprobates from other cities, and they say, "Hey, do you know who they really are? Do you know what they're really doing? Do you know what they're preaching?" And they persuaded them, they lied about them, they maligned them, they scoffed at them. And listen, the same people who were bowing down and ready to offer up their sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas are stoning him in the head.
Yeah.
Oh.
Why? Idolatry.
Yeah. Yep, that's right.
Now take that story and hold on a minute. Have you ever done anything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help someone else who needed help? Have you ever done anything just witnessing to them? Maybe you were the one who led them to Christ. You were the one who won them to Christ. They got saved. They got baptized. They got in church. They got excited about Jesus, truth. I never heard this before. They give testimony. They're serving the Lord. They're going soul winning. And then somebody else starts talking.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
In their ear.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're throwing rocks at your head.
Yep. Uh-huh. Come on.
Now, maybe not literally, but if words... Amen. We're stones.
Yeah.
He said, "Preacher, how can somebody be so unstable?"
Yep.
Hello, I'm telling you why. How can somebody be so unfaithful? How can somebody be so fickle, back and forth and up and down? I'm telling you why. That's it. Because they're serving something other than God. They were in it for something other than God. They were in it for something God could do, something they could see and touch. And then all of a sudden, they were not in it at all because somebody talked them out of it, because they were never in it, because they simply loved the Lord God with all their hearts.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah, not good.
It's idolatry.
Right.
It's idolatry. One minute the children of Israel are praising Moses. The next minute they're saying, "Hey, he's gone. Let's build an idol. Let's build a calf." See, this lack of faith is what it is.
Right.
It's looking for something that you can see, touch, feel, you know, you can experience instead of just building your life on this book. And that's why you're so unstable. That's why you, somebody else calls and you got something, you're gone. A church is optional. My family called. I'm going to there. I'm going over there. Hello, I'm going to preach, folks. It's preaching time. Well, my family called. You know, we got this family thing. I go to church all the time. Amen. You know why? Because you're not chasing after God. You're chasing after something that God can do for you. You're an idolater. Listen, I'm trying to help you tonight. If we're going to have a better church, you're going to have to get your heart back focused on what really matters, and that's glorifying God, living for God, and be content with whatever He gives you.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about tonight. Being content with whatever godliness brings me. Whatever God gives me, then I'm going to live for that and be content with that. And listen, and you will have joy. You will have peace. You won't be disturbed. You'll be stable. You'll be grounded. You'll be focused. My heart is fixed, O Lord. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. But yet, we have so many idolatrous Baptists. See, contentment, listen, contentment is the absence of greed. That's what the Bible says, the absence of covetousness, greed. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says it this way, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. Nor he that loveth abundance with increase. If all you're listening for, listen now, I understand we want souls to get saved, we want our church to grow, we want people to come, but understand, if that's all you're living for, it's not going to satisfy you.
That's right. Come on.
Because that's not what it's about.
Amen.
It's about you and me glorifying God.
Amen.
Where He's number one and we're content with Him.
Amen.
You see, it's contentment is the absence of greed. Contentment is the absence of covetousness. Contentment is the absence of envy.
That's right.
You see other churches and you see, wow, they have this and that and the other, and you're going to go try to join them. Because that looks like it's better. You see, the Bible says where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. That bunch of people there in Lycaonia, they were confused. One minute they're worshiping, the next minute they're hurling stones.
Yeah.
That's confusion.
Yep.
That's right.
Contentment is, hey, I'm content with my God and whatever He gives. Anxiety is another. Absence of contentment is the absence of anxiety. And look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I don't have time to read all this. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, Matthew 6, verse 26, they sow not, neither do they reap, neither nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these.
Yeah.
He says, look at verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe? And notice what it says. O ye of little faith. Faith is the problem, guys. So I'm not content with what God gives me because I don't believe that God is good enough to provide.
Amen.
I don't believe God's word. I don't believe that God really says what He means and means what He says.
Amen.
Come on.
Lack of faith will make me greedy.
Right.
Lack of faith will make me envious, anxious. Hey, you know what? Contentment is the lack of griping and complaining.
Come on.
1 Corinthians 10:10 says, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. The children of Israel complained in the wilderness all the time.
Yep.
It it was their own lack of faith.
Right.
Remember, they saw the promised land.
Yep.
They had the opportunity to be there.
That's right.
But instead, they spent the next 40 years grumbling and growling at Moses.
Yep.
Why? No contentment. Why? They were not living by faith. Why? Because they didn't care about God. They wanted God to do something for them.
Right.
See, it's the absence of greed. It's the absence of envy. It's the absence of anxiety. It's the absence of complaining. Boy, oh boy, I tell you what, that's a little, that's tough. Every one of us has been in those areas somewhere already, even today or certainly this week.
Come on.
Thank you, Lord.
Quickly, we need to combat discontentment.
Amen.
We need to fight it.
Amen.
Okay? We need to rid our lives of discontentment. We need to be content. I'm going to try to give you a few biblical principles. Number one, remember the power and the promises of God.
Amen.
The power and the promises of God. I can't live my life in such discontentment, always murmuring, always envious, always anxious, just eating alive with nerves. And listen, remember the power and the promise. He said, the Bible says in Hebrews 13, right there in the text where we were, He hath said, God Almighty has said, I will never leave thee.
Right.
Never forsake thee.
Amen.
Now that's a promise.
Amen.
In other words, it doesn't matter what I have or don't have. I have Christ.
Amen.
You know, sometimes you see people struggling, but they're faithful.
Amen.
You see people struggling, they're hurting, they're brokenhearted, but they're faithful. Because they know, hey, this is not about me. This is about God.
Amen.
God's power. God's promised me He's not going to leave me. So therefore, I'm not going to leave Him.
Amen, brother.
Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Contentment. We got to get a hold of this thing. Personally, as a church, 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace. Well, that's contentment.
Yeah,
look, how is that going to happen? According as His divine what? Power.
Amen.
Hath given unto us what?
All
things.
Amen.
All things that pertain unto life and what? Godliness. God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. As it says, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious what? Promises. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature.
Amen.
That having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. We've escaped all of that. God has given us everything we need to live godly and righteously and soberly in this present world. We can just thank God for His grace and His mercy and His salvation. And remember, He has the promise. He has promised us He has the power. He has given us everything we need to live like we need to live. Godliness with contentment. God has given it to us. But we forget about that. We've got to remember His power and His promises. And number two, we've got to remember the providence of God. Providence. Psalm 16, quickly. Psalm 16. I want to show you these verses, okay? Psalm 16, verse 5. Psalm 16, the providence of God. In other words, the sovereignty of God. The fact that what God does is perfect. I don't have to understand it. He's God. He's sovereign. He's a providential. He will provide in what I need. Verse 16, chapter 16 of Psalm, verse 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. The Lord.
Yeah.
Right.
And look what it says. And my lot, thou maintainest my lot. Listen to me now. Wait a minute. My lot is whatever God has given me.
Right. Yep. Right.
My lot is the will of God for my life. the will of God for my life.
Right.
I may not have the same lot you have.
Right.
You see, remember the children of Israel when they went into the promised land and they were divided that land by lots. Mm-hmm. And the ones who had the most people, they got a bigger property, smaller lots. We still call, you know, acreage and houses, and they own a lot, right?
Right.
It's a lot of land. That's exactly, but the lot in the Word of God is used as, okay, this is the lot that God has given me. This is the will of God for me.
Amen.
Look what it says. Thou maintainest my lot.
Right.
God is in control.
Yeah.
Look in verse 6. The lines are fallen unto me. In other words, the things that God wants you to have are fallen unto you.
Right.
God, those have fallen unto you from God.
Amen.
Coming down from heaven.
Yeah.
Unto you. Now, David's writing this. And he says, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. What that means is he's saying, I'm thankful for what God has allowed my lot to be.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, there's not a perfect person in the world. There's not a perfect lot in the world. We need to learn to be thankful for the lot that has fallen unto us. We need to learn to say like David, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. I have goodly heritage. God's been good to me. Because listen, God maintains that lot. God will take care of me. Listen, God will take care of me if I'll stay right there in that lot. He's the one that put me there. It's His providence. Again, I'm not talking about you going out and sin and doing your own thing. That's not your lot. That's a lot of mess is what that is. But that when you live and you stay and you serve and you do in the lot that God has given you. Listen to me. That's God. He will maintain that lot.
Amen.
That's His power. That's His power. That's His providence. That's His sovereignty. He puts you there, in other words. He'll take care of it.
Yeah.
Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven.
Yeah.
Psalm 18:30 says, as for God, His way is perfect.
Yeah.
His lot for my life is perfect. Now listen, I'm not. You listen. Let me go back to where I was a minute ago. You can't say that by looking at it.
Yep.
Right.
That's right.
Again, I'm not talking about you looking at it and saying, "Wow, look at everything God." No. No, you can't. Some of you can't say that. Some of you look at your lot and you say, "That's not true."
Come on.
Yeah.
I've looked at my lot and said, that's not true.
Yeah.
And if you're humble and honest with yourself, you've also looked at your lot and said, that's not true.
Come on.
That's right.
Now, I'm not talking about your life before Christ. That wasn't your lot.
That's right.
That wasn't God's lot for you.
Right.
That was sin and degradation and all that junk. But listen, now that you're in Christ, God's given you a lot.
Yeah.
And He's giving you a lot in that lot.
Amen.
But see, you don't always see it. You can't always touch it.
Yep.
You've got to understand and remember the providence. God is doing what He wants to do according to what does Romans 8:28 say? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God.
Amen.
Not love what God can do for them, not love their lot, but love God.
Amen.
Isaiah 55, let me read it, just listen. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I mean, listen to me, folks. We can't, if we sit around and try to figure out why,
right.
Yep.
Yep.
Then we're going to be discontent.
Yep.
We're going to be unhappy. If we sit around and try to figure out why, and here's what we do. We look at somebody else, and we say, why don't they, how come they,
yeah.
How come me? That's envy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's envy. That's not contentment.
Right.
That's complaining.
Yep.
That's not contentment. We look at other churches and we say, how come they this and that and the other? Listen, I don't even, you know, I don't know. Quite frankly, I will drive myself bananas. I will beat my head against a wall and I'll go crazy trying to figure out why. And so will you. Listen, it's God's lot and He will maintain that lot. His ways are not my ways and His, and thank God for that.
Amen.
Contentment brings peace and joy and fulfillment when I just realize God has put me where I'm at. God has given me this lot. And God, I know that this will work together for His glory.
Amen.
He's God. Look at Romans 11. Hurry up. I'm trying to hurry. Romans 11. Amen. Verse 33. Romans 11, verse 33. We're still talking about the providence of God. God doing it. We don't know what He's doing, but He's doing something. We have to trust Him.
Amen.
Romans 11:33. Oh boy, this, I might have a fit reading these verses. Amen. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of Richard Worcester, Joshua Garcia, Richard DeShazo, Lincoln Euland, Evan DeGreve, Pastor Fogg. No.
Amen.
The wisdom and knowledge of God.
Amen.
Folks, I'm telling you what, that does my heart good.
Amen.
They are so, there's such a depth to His wisdom that we'll never see it all. It's unsearchable. Look what it says. I'm not done. How unsearchable are His judgments. Judgments. In other words, He decides what I get and what I don't get. That's His judgment. That's because of His wisdom and His knowledge. He's providential. He's sovereign.
Amen.
He maintains my lot. Boy, oh boy, I tell you what. This is, I'm not done. Let's read on. And His ways past finding out. Folks, I don't even know, listen, I know what you've heard preached before, but I don't even know when we get to heaven if we're going to know everything.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
But quite frankly, when we get to heaven, we won't care.
Because
we'll be in heaven.
Amen.
But I don't, His ways are, the secret things belong to the Lord God.
Right.
The secret things, in other words, the things that I have not seen or understood, the mysteries that they belong to God. And listen, they're way beyond my understanding and me finding out.
Right.
Look at the next verses. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? That's what we try to do, don't we?
Yeah.
We try to get in prayer and counsel God.
Wow. Yeah.
Help.
Now, God, I just don't think this is right. Now, God, I think You ought to do it this way. Now, God, I really think this would be better if You would do this way. And we try to be His counselor.
Oh, no.
Don't tell me You haven't done it.
Oh.
God, don't you think maybe, okay, I understand. We pray and God says to pray. But I'm going to try to address that here in a minute. But we're not His counselor. We mess things up and we try to twist things from what He really wants. He's doing what He's doing for a reason. And listen, there's so much peace and contentment in that. In spite of the tears. In spite of the heartache. I go back to Romans 11:33. Look what it says here in verse 36. For of Him and through Him and to Him are what?
All
things. If I would just get that. Right. To whom be glory.
Amen.
Forever.
Amen.
Amen. And amen.
Amen. Sorry.
I don't know about you folks, but verses like that keep me going.
Amen.
I know you think I don't have any problems and nothing's wrong in my... I really don't. If I read that. I really don't. If you're listening to me, you don't either.
Amen.
I mean, isn't that wonderful? I mean, I got more to say, but man, I just, those verses keep me going.
Amen.
Because God is not fooled. God is not duped. God is not bypassed. You can't pull one over on God. The lies will fall where they need to fall.
Amen.
Glory to God. To God be the glory forever.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm having good. That's a blessing.
Amen.
Whew. I love those verses. We need to remember the power, the promises, the providence. Hey, listen, we need to remember the presence of Christ.
Yeah,
Philippians 4. The Bible says, remember, He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Look in Philippians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul is a tremendous example of being content. Amen. I'm going to read you this verse. He proved. He says, amen, I have learned to be content. If I can find there. Go eat popcorn. There it is. Okay. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. You know, it's my mom that taught me that, right? Well, you know, mothers, don't ever take for granted what you teach your children. Amen. Remember it for the rest of their lives. Verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want. Or want means lack. Now, Paul's in prison writing this. He says, I have learned. What do you mean? I've learned in whatsoever state I am. Except for Arkansas. No, I'm just kidding. That's not what he's talking about. That's not what he's talking about. Okay. Therewith, or New York. I'm just kidding. Amen. To be content.
Oh.
He says, I've learned. Whether I'm in prison, look at the next verse.
I know.
Yeah. And now he's learned it. Yeah. And that's what we're talking about, learning these things tonight.
Yeah, man.
I know, because he's learned both how to be abased. That means I know how to do without. I know how to abound. That means I have a lot. You know, have you ever noticed that sometimes you'll have an influx of blessings and you know, a bus given to you and a building given to you and then all of a sudden it'll just be. God says, slam on the brakes for a minute. I'm going to teach you something here for a little while. He says, Paul says, I've learned how to be abased. I've learned how to abound everywhere. And in all things, I am instructed. By whom? By God.
Yeah.
To be full and to be hungry. Oh, boy. Look at what he's saying here. And to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Notice verse 13. He says, I can do all things. Through Christ,
amen.
Which strengtheneth me. Boy, see, what Paul just reminded himself of is whether I have it or I don't.
Right.
Whether I'm up or I'm down.
Right.
Whether I'm suffering or whether I'm abounding, I still have Christ.
Amen.
I still have Christ. You see, Christ keeps me humble when I'm abounding so I don't get full of pride. Christ keeps me strong when I'm down here so I don't give up.
Amen.
You see, I got to remember He's there no matter what's happening. No matter what's going on, I have learned. I can learn. I can be to be content.
Amen.
In whatsoever state I'm in, wherever I'm at in my lot, wherever I'm at in my life, the presence of Christ is there with me.
Thank you, Lord.
I remember the providence, the power, the promises, the presence of Christ. And finally, well, almost finally, amen. I'm hurrying. I need to realize my unworthiness.
Yeah.
I need to realize my personal unworthiness. I don't deserve anything.
That's right.
Come on. That's right.
How many times God has beat me up because I think, Lord, you know, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm trying to be honest with you. I'm telling you what the Bible says, but like somebody said, I'm not preaching now. I'm being honest, okay? you know, there are times where I wonder, Lord, why isn't our church growing? And you have to. And I beat myself up. I mean, I go to prayer. I fast. I go to the Word of God. I weep. I say, God, please, what is wrong with me? And you know what? You know what God tells me, son. You don't deserve one person in that building.
Amen.
You don't deserve one stinking person. You don't even deserve your family to be there.
Amen.
Half the time they're only there because they have to be. I'm just kidding. I'm just playing. But see, that I don't. God says you don't deserve any of it.
Right.
And you know what I do? I fall on my face.
Amen.
And I say, Lord, I am so rotten.
Yeah.
I mean, I know where I came from.
Right.
And here I am preaching, and people are walking in the building and sitting in chairs. One person is more than I deserve. You say, preacher, does that mean we can't grow? Listen, you're missing the point.
Yeah.
We will be so much more thankful for our lot when we realize we didn't deserve anything but the hell, fires, and damnation of the lake of fire.
Right. Oh, right. Right.
Genesis 32, Jacob said, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. I mean, look what God has given us.
Right. Yeah.
Every time you go to this book, if you want it, you'll learn something new.
Amen.
You'll grow. You'll be fed. You'll be helped. You may be convicted to the core, but you need it.
Amen.
But every time, look what God has. Let me look at this.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh.
Thank you, Lord.
Do we deserve this? Do we deserve a church?
No.
Do we deserve a Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts? I will never leave thee. Do we deserve anybody to even care about us? But we have a small church. We have a church family. Listen, nobody in here, I think, hates you. I hope not.
Amen.
I certainly don't know of it. But I mean, we're so unworthy, but yet we get so unthankful.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we stop being content.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Folks, you know what that is? Pride.
Yep.
That's pride.
Yep.
See, your flesh is envious,
yeah,
greedy, covetous. Your flesh, the number one problem with this contentment thing is our pride. Proverbs 13 says it this way, my only by pride cometh contention. Contention is all of that strife and confusion and evil work. Contention is where there's problems only by pride. There's never going to be a problem in your house. Never going to be a problem in the house of God. Never going to be a problem in your heart except for pride. The opposite, the total lack of pride is contentment. Wow. But we forget about how unworthy we are. We forget about that. Maybe you don't. I do.
Amen.
I do. I mean, I stood out there. Y'all bear with me. I'm almost done. I stood out there on the University of North Texas. I didn't even know that place existed until about 10 years ago. I stood out there today and preached the gospel to hundreds of people. Brother Evan handed out, numerous tracts. He got to lead a young man to the Lord. I got to walk down and lead a young man to the Lord right there. I mean, and I'm thinking, I was just ecstatic. It was a blessing. But understand something. Even if I never got to do that, I'm still saved.
Right.
I'm still born again. I still have the ever-loving, living presence of God in me. I'm still going to heaven. I'm unworthy to do anything. But God will use you if you'll let Him. But you can't let that go to your head and think, well, why can't I do more? Do this? Listen, that's foolishness. Drop it. Let your pride die. Lay down your pride and put on the clothing of humility and say, God, thank you. Thank you for everything you've done for me. Thank you for the love. Thank you for the salvation, the mercy, and the grace. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. It doesn't matter if He does another thing for me. He's done way more than I deserve.
Amen.
Come on,
way more.
Yes, sir.
But we get so rebellious, so full of pride, our flesh. If we're going to be content, we've got to remember the power, the promises, the providence of God, the presence of Christ, and our own personal unworthiness. And finally, we're going to have to rebuild and revamp our prayer lives. Proverbs 30. Proverbs chapter 30. I promise you this is the last point. Proverbs chapter 30. We need to rework our prayer lives. I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but let's look at these verses. Sometimes we get ourselves discontented because we try to counsel God. Remember I talked about that? We try to tell God what would be best. And we get ourselves discontented. Think about that. We get ourselves envious and contentious and angry. We get ourselves unhappy and discontent. Look in Proverbs 30, verse 8. Proverbs 30, verse 8. This is a prayer. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Vanity. Remember, we talked about vanity and covetousness and idolatry. Lies, deceit. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. You see that?
Yeah.
Now, folks, is that how we pray?
Oh.
Lord, I don't want to have too much money. Lord, I don't want to have too much food.
Great.
We need to revamp and rethink and rebuild and rework our prayer lives. Oh, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, or just what I need. Look in verse 9 now. Lest I be full and deny thee. See, I get full of food. I get full of money. I have all I need. What did the Laodicean church say? We are rich and increased with good and have need of nothing.
Right.
That's where we're at today.
Yeah.
That's where we're at today. Folks don't need God.
Right.
Because they've got money and houses and cars and everything. And they got this. But that makes you forget God.
Right. Yep.
God, the Bible says, I'm praying this. Now listen, lest I be fool and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Who? And they don't even remember God. Or, lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Now folks, that's a prayer that we need to get a hold of.
Amen.
We need to overhaul our prayer lives. Lord, don't give me too much. Lord, don't give me too little. Just help me have what I need.
Amen.
In other words, Lord, whatever you do, don't let me dishonor you.
Amen.
In other words, Lord, it ain't about me or my comfort or my glory. It's all about you. I don't want to dishonor you. I don't want to take your name in vain. I don't want to forget about you. I want to make sure I live for you.
Amen.
Don't give me too much, Lord.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. When's the last time you prayed, don't give me too much, Lord?
Help us.
Amen.
We like to ask God for a whole lot more. Then God says to ask, don't get me wrong. But we need to think.
Yeah.
Okay, look, this is God, this is my lot, He's going to maintain me. I'm going to be thankful, I'm going to be grateful, I don't deserve it. Give me what I need, Lord, so I don't leave your lot.
Amen.
So that I glorify you.
Amen.
Where are we at tonight?
Amen.
See, contentment is where we're supposed to be. Be content. Remember the power of God. The providence of God, the promises of God, the presence of Christ, my personal unworthiness, and listen, and my prayer life. Boy, oh boy. Contentment, godliness is what God's looking for.
Amen.
And then being content with that.
Amen.
And God says that's great gain.
Amen.
Great gain.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, that's the message tonight. Lord, I pray you take your word. Father, we don't want to be idolaters. Lord, people who are chasing after the fleeting wealth and riches of this world and the pleasures of this old